Kicking off hour number two in the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville, educating Hickman on the terms and conditions of Cleveland.
I wouldn't go for that one, Brad, if I were you.
Avoid at all costs.
Hey, you know, you do you.
Yeah, Hickman, never one to judge. That's what we say about him.
It's one of my best qualities.
Yeah, definitely. That's certainly it. All right, enough NFL. Have you guys seen what Brad Crawford had to say about the 10 best offenses in college football predictions for 2022?
Let me guess. I'll pretend like I've not seen this.
Okay.
You have Tennessee top five?
He did have them top five.
Let's see. Wouldn't be one. Don't think we'd be two. Well, they probably have us at four.
Two.
Well, see, did I do a good job there pretending?
Had you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it.
You could have just said you saw it.
Well, you know, it's better if
Brett,
I
Brett, had you
I
seen that?
I haven't.
I did see it.
Okay, well.
I mean,
so much for bringing secrets to the show. Jeez.
One Ohio State.
One Ohio State, two Tennessee. I'll read you what they had to say, or what Brad Crawford had to say on Tennessee after this. Wake Forest at three.
That's changed now.
Yeah, with the Sam Hartman. Do we know anything more about that? Quarterback Sam Hartman of Wake Forest is going to be missing time indefinitely due to a non-football medical condition. Yeah.
Which is never good.
No, never good. Number four, Alabama. I don't think there'd be many that disagree with that. I also think they could finish a lot higher if Jahmyr Gibbs is as good as they say. Number five, he has Southern Cal.
I think it'll take more than a year.
I mean, obviously they got Caleb Williams. He's really good. They got Jordan Addison.
A mad Jordan Addison, maybe.
Yeah, he might not be the most thrilled to be at Southern Cal. I think it's probably, it's a little early to project Southern. Now, that said, the Pac, whatever they are now, Pac-12, I guess, technically this year, they're terrible defensively. It's not a very good conference. But to say Southern Cal is going to be, I guess that could be a projection as they're going to be up and Lincoln Riley not exactly known for taking his foot off the gas type of thing, just run the score up and put up good offense. We'll see how they fare against some of the better teams on their schedule. Go through the top 10 here. Number six, the Houston Cougars. Number seven, kind of surprised here, especially with the hire of Brent Venables, but Oklahoma. Now, they did hire Jeff Lebby away from Ole Miss. He's a very good offensive coordinator. He was with Josh Heupel at UCF. I think they could be pretty good. They did also get Dylan Gabriel from UCF. I don't want to say an outstanding quarterback, but a very good quarterback. Another conference that's not exactly known for playing great defense, so I do think the Sooners could put up yards. Might be a little early to project them that high. Number eight, the Georgia Bulldogs.
I don't know if I agree with that one.
Pretty sure they were top 10 last year, were they not?
They're just so deceptive with it.
Well, it helps when you have all the extra possessions because their defense forces so many turnovers and three and outs. So you give them credit for that. I did think Todd Monken. I feel like Georgia has cycled through a lot of offensive coordinators in the last 10 years or so, and I felt like Todd Monken, which I believe last year was his first year, for what he had, I thought he did a really, really nice job. You know they're going to be able to run the football. You know they're going to have, especially this year, a ton of skill at the tight end position. If they could find a receiver or two, I definitely think they could be dangerous. Not sure if they're top 10 just because I think their defense takes a step back. That's more time of possession for opposing offenses. Number nine, the Texas Longhorns. They don't know who their starting quarterback's going to be. They did get Isaiah Nayor, but they also went 5-7 last year and lost to Kansas. And now all of a sudden, they are projected to have a top 10 offense.
And it sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a tough call. I mean, you just have no idea.
That's why I understand them saying we don't want to sit a guy out for a drive or three plays if he goes down with an injury, but I don't think you should be able to sub an entire defensive line.
There should not be
an added advantage. I mean, at that point, though, I guess all five guys could just sit down and say we all got a cramp.
Well, Matt, I mean, and they're getting time to rest while this guy's being tended to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a big part of what Ole Miss did. The guys would fake a cramp, lay down on the field. The trainer would come out, and then they're looking at him for two or three minutes.
Everybody's getting water passed around.
Who knows if they go to a TV timeout?
Right, yeah. Then you get added time.
Yeah.
And then that guy slowly walks off the field, and then he's back in two plays later. Like nothing ever happened.
And it just sucks because like there's nothing Josh Heupel in Tennessee could do to counter-react this. Like there's nothing we can do to stop it.
No, there's nothing.
I guess you just kind of Got to hope you're going up against a coach with some class and dignity who wouldn't stoop that low, but it's college football. It's the most competitive sport in the world.
Well, I don't want to say that every team did it, but it felt like a lot of teams did it at least once. It was just so egregious and obvious in the Ole Miss game that that was the plan.
Sometimes it was the same guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Like, hey, you're the second down guy. If
it would always be after, like, we'd run the ball a couple times and hit a play action, long pass. That's when it tended to happen, when you had to run farther down the field. He couldn't get there.
I thought it was when we would try to go tempo to get, like, on third down, and they were wanting to bring in fresh legs third down.
Yeah, I mean, it happened quite a bit.
It was every other play that entire game.
It seemed like it.
I heard Russell say yesterday that somebody who knows Saban was, quote, stunned that Lane Kiffin would stoop that low. He said I was actually stunned that Lane Kiffin decided to do that in order. I mean, I get that was a big game for Lane. He wanted to come back and make sure that he won. But, I don't know, I look back on that game. We had a touchdown taken off the board. Obviously, the final minute was a complete mess.
Yeah.
With everything being thrown on the field. The ref 20 yards behind the play, signaling short a first down, which I think was probably the right call, but everything had just boiled over at that point.
And like Lane Kiffin ruined what was one of the most hyped up college football games of the season, a game that had the highest over under ever in college football. I don't know if you realize that the over under on that game was like 89.89.5 or something.
Really?
Yeah, it was something absurd.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that high.
It was the highest over under ever in college football up to the point, and you just killed it by never letting Tennessee establish any rhythm on offense.
Mm-mm, no.
And it's bad for the game. It makes the viewing experience absolute trash when literally you're stopping for 4 minutes every 35 seconds.
I don't disagree, but if you're an Ole Miss fan, do you care?
I mean, if
you won the game
and
you didn't
Tennessee
cheat.
Win the game, I wouldn't care, but I get it.
But that's kind of the problem.
I was sitting next to a few Ole Miss fans, and they were laughing about it at first. But then they were like, they want to see a good product on the
field.
Yeah,
well, I think that's kind of the way it goes. The first couple of times, it's like, oh, here they go.
Yeah,
look at this guy. But then when it was every other play for four quarters, and he's over there, like, laughing, and you can see see him signaling guys on the field, like, get down, get down, get down. It just becomes a joke.
Yeah.
That's not the way the game's supposed to be played. Like, there's nothing wrong with going tempo. How is there not something wrong with, faking an injury? That's about as low as you can get without, cheap-shotting somebody.
European soccer.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And that's what's the one thing Americans make fun of the most when they watch soccer? Is the flopping and the pretending, rolling around on the ground when you fall down on your own trying to get a card on somebody.
Yeah.
It's a joke. Randall, hang on the phone line. We'll get to you on the other side. It's 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to the Fan Run Studios. Fox Sports Knoxville 3 and Out continues. If you want to join the program, 865-546-8200. We go there now. Randall, welcome to the program. You're on 3 and Out.
We don't need no Tony Basilio. We don't need no Beano. No dark sarcasm in Beano's gloss room. Basilioli Randall alone. Hey, you Yankee wop who looks like a corpse. Leave Randall alone.
Beautiful rendition. I guess Randall got his feelings hurt by a different talk show in town. Pretty good voice, though. He might challenge
ZR,
yeah. On the
that'd be a matchup for the ages right there.
Well, the thing with ZR is he does so many different songs in his medley. That was a Pink Floyd tune, obviously, but I don't know, pretty good. Good rhyming pattern.
I think I heard Westchester do one on overtime.
Westchester sang on overtime?
I think he did.
Hickman, did you hear this?
I did not.
Did Jake mention the fact that I was listening to it.
Jake would
tones.
Have to confirm that, but I'm pretty sure I thought that's what I heard last week even.
Well, late in the evening, Westchester might have had a beverage or two. And
I think that's a lot of the callers Jake gets.
Well, it is the witching hour.
You know.
That's 6 to 8 time frame. People have either already started or are really getting ramped up.
Yeah.
I'd say Friday.
Most of them are sitting on their back porch.
And they trying to think they didn't have overtime last night, so people are probably champing at the bit to get back in today. it's Thursday, which is Hickman's favorite day of the week.
Yeah.
Because tomorrow now is Friday, so a lot of people's weekends may start tonight. I mean, Jake was busy last night, no overtime. This could be a big night for funky calls. Maybe, I mean, it sounded like Randall might have already gotten started this morning.
Still up.
Yeah, that's right. He may not have even gone to bed after last night's bender.
Whiskey Wednesday or something.
It's not, yeah. Into a, well, we do call it Throwdown Thursday. He might have been throwing them down. Yeah. That was a good rendition. I'm not a big fan of taking.
Somewhere,
now,
right?
Just, I want everyone to know, we did not take a shot at anybody. We had no idea what the call was going to be about. We just let a man sing his song.
He called the show.
You call the show, you get on.
They get to.
Could have been worse.
We let everybody voice their opinion.
He sounded pretty good. It was pretty good.
He did.
Yeah, a little Pink Floyd. I got no issues with that.
You know, State Run would never.
He would have made it.
About 4 seconds, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say about four words in, 7 seconds or so.
If they even let him on, you know, they got the call screeners there. They
call screeners.
What's your name? What do you want to talk about?
Where are you from? Bank account number. Name of first child. Oh, Randall.
Do you agree to be positive and only positive at all times?
Do you agree to keep the university's interests in mind as you make this phone call?
If you could give me an email, we will email you the talking script you are allowed to speak from when you make your call.
I don't know if it goes quite that far.
Maybe not, but...
It's probably a text message. Emails get pretty personal, yeah?
Stay away from these topics, please.
Good stuff by Randall. Unexpected. Was that a first time, long time? I don't recall ever hearing.
I think you he guys called the other day, but he never got on.
Was I hosting?
No. I think this was Friday or Thursday.
Yeah, it had been when he was.
So Nate didn't get to him? Sad.
I swear there's somewhere in our messages where I texted you guys.
A Randall?
Last week, yeah.
Well, singing on the radio is tough. So maybe he got a little nervous.
Maybe,
but,
yeah.
But he didn't sound nervous today. He delivered it with some oomph, poise, passion. He was primed. I appreciate it. Moving on, I guess. I don't know.
Where shall we go next?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't know if you want to touch on any of the injuries that have happened over the last couple of days in the SEC. Because a couple of them come from key players, key opponents.
The only one. We mentioned Florida's receiver transfer from Arizona State with a foot injury. They have not said what that was.
Definitely right now.
It sounds like it might be something similar to what JoJo Earl had happen to him at Alabama.
You just never know. A foot, you can't really do anything.
Well, I was surprised that Bama came out and said it's a fracture.
What was his again, you said?
Foot fracture. JoJo Earl. Who was...
That's surgery, right? Obviously, probably. I don't know.
Depends on how bad it was. I mean, I guess if it's a fracture, probably.
6 to 8 weeks, does that put him... Well, that's from now, so I guess we haven't got the first game.
Yeah, to 8 weeks with no setbacks. And that's six.
I was trying to think when we would play them.
I don't know if that's 6 to 8 weeks in the cast or if he could start, but you got to think about muscle atrophy and all that once that happens. I'm not sure. But that was going to be a big part of Alabama's offense.
He's a small, quick guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's really fast.
Yeah.
He's a problem.
So JoJo Earl.
You got him?
Yeah, 12 receptions, 148 yards. No touchdowns last year for Alabama.
Did he play in the championship game? Because they were down two guys. I wonder if he. I don't think I remember hearing his name.
I don't see it.
Only 12 catches? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
For some reason, I remembered it being more. I feel like that. Maybe it was just because he has such a fun name, JoJo Earl. Well, didn't they also have a guy, Jawan Williams, the guy who got drafted by
Jameson.
The. Okay, maybe that's Jameson what I was thinking of. Jameson Williams. He went to Detroit, right?
Yeah, I mean, was he top 10 pick? I think he was top 10.
He was up there. I think they said he's wearing Stafford's number 9 this year.
Hmm.
Yeah, Earl did not get any playing time in the national championship.
That's a shame.
Got some playing time against Cincy, did not record a stat. Now, this Ricky Purcell, however you call it,
the Florida
guy.
From Florida, he was a pretty solid option for Arizona State last year.
I have just received a communique that says that is a precautionary rest for him and that he will be ready by week one for the Gators.
Really? It's interesting.
Who will? Ricky?
Yeah, the guy from Arizona State.
I thought he was going to be out for a while.
These things happen. Maybe Billy Napier is a master of deception.
So he'll be ready for Utah.
He had just under 600 yards last year, 4 touchdowns.
That's not bad.
Yeah. No, not at all. That's about, isn't that about what Peyton had? You said 6 touchdowns or 4?
4.
Okay.
He had 1 the year before.
He had more yards than, he may have more catches, though.
I'm sure he did.
I mean, Peyton what?
Peyton did not have a ton of catches.
How many did you say he had?
Javonte?
I don't know that I did.
Javonte had like 18 catches, but 6 of them were touchdowns.
And I swear he did not have a touchdown under 30 yards. Tennessee Tech, Kentucky, Florida, South Carolina, Alabama. There's 5.
Missouri.
Missouri?
Missouri, yeah.
That one might.
He didn't play in the bowl game, did he?
No.
Did he not?
I don't know if he did.
He got hurt against Georgia.
Oh, that's right. So maybe he didn't play in the bowl game. But yeah, precautionary for, what did you say his name was? Purcell?
Ricky Purcell.
Purcell, okay.
P-E-A-R-S-A-L-L.
Pearsall?
Pearsall.
Pearsall, I don't know.
Parasail. That's it. Yeah, you nailed that, Hickman. It's a job well done. Are those really the only two big ones so far?
That I know of, I guess, that I've seen.
So receivers going down a little bit in the SEC, but sounds like one serious, one maybe not.
Did you mention yesterday I did see, I guess, Missouri, did they name their starting quarterback?
Yeah, we talked about it. Brady Cook.
Brady Cook, mm-hmm. Okay.
Purcell, apparently.
Ricky Purcell.
Purcell. I guess we have to get into this. Roman Harper and Peter Burns, this is the season on SEC Now and SEC Network where they're doing season predictions. It depends on the host as far as what kind of the record prediction is, but Roman Harper, Peter Burns predicted Tennessee's record game by game. I would imagine most people would be pleased with this outcome.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we're Vol fans. We'd want 11-1.
Well, thanks for spoiling the tease as we go to break. Well done, Hickman. That's good. Hour 2 continues. We get straight to the phone lines where T-Carp is awaiting. T-Carp, good morning. Welcome to 3 and Out.
Good morning, fellas. I hope everybody is well.
You too, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. I kind of want to dive into this, them saying that they can't do anything about players laying on the field.
Yeah.
My strategy with that is bad word you. You can pick from a plethora of those.
Mm.
If
one comes to mind.
Yep. If you're going to do that, let's just say Lane Kiffin does that. I'm going to do that on defense too. And we can, two could play at this crap game. If we're going to have one of those to where, in situations where we need to sub in, or hey, we're getting just destroyed, have someone down every play. I mean, absolutely frustrate the crap out of the offensive coordinator, make them lose their cool, make the crowd lose their cool. I mean, Lane Kiffin did it to us, and it worked. Why not do it to someone else if they can't stop it? It's now a part of the game. I don't, at this point, is there anything ethically or morally wrong with it anymore?
I mean, I think so, but there's nothing legally wrong with it.
There you go. I mean, we can sit here and say, it's morally wrong, but if you win the football game.
Yeah, wins and losses.
If they don't, like, bomb it on you because you actually got your defense set, got players rested, all that stuff. I mean, I just don't know anymore. It just blows my mind that head of officials said, like y'all said, like, there's nothing we can do. Oh, there's a lot you can do. You just choose not to.
3 a.m. Volcall tweeted and said, you can't hate on Lane that much for doing it. He dealt with it with his offense and said, if you don't want us to do it, make a rule. They obviously didn't make a rule. And then
do it against Bama every play.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you don't want to do it if the team's not running tempo. If there's no reason to do it, there's no reason to do it. Now, I get what you're saying. Even if they're not necessarily running tempo, you could still frustrate them. I thought Chris had a good point. If the officials can't prove that they're just laying down, but they have a pretty good idea, or even if they don't have a good idea, if they know the guys are just laying down on purpose. I think in the Ole Miss game, it was clearly obvious. You know, it was a night game. It wasn't that hot. I doubt all these guys are having cramps. At that point, if you're an official, like, maybe you can't flag them for that, but maybe you could be a little less lenient on a holding call or, you know, some a defensive penalty, something. I mean, like, there has to be a way to balance this out. If you can't flag a guy for being down on the field, then don't give the defensive backs any leeway on a pass interference. You know, don't let them hold the receivers. Don't let you know, if a guy's lined up, maybe offsides, maybe not, maybe you flag him and say, look, we're not going to give you guys any benefit of the doubt. You're laying down. You're attacking the integrity of the game. If you're going to do that and make a joke of the fact that we can't call a penalty here, we're going to call penalties anytime we have a sniff of something that you're doing wrong. Like, they could do that. I think that's a good point. But then the refs would probably get busted for that. Oh, it wasn't fair on this team, and you were more lenient against Tennessee than you were us. Like, it's kind of a mess, but I disagree with the official saying there's nothing we can do. I do think it's a very hard thing to, you know, legislate out of the game. It essentially comes down to a coach or a player, and, you know, do they want to ethically go about things the right way? Because legally, there's no right or wrong here. They can do it if they want to, or they can, you know, play it straight up. But if there's an advantage to be gained, I understand why players and coaches would want to use that to their advantage, especially if they're having trouble stopping a fast-paced offense like Tennessee's.
Right. It also goes to the philosophical thing of or a philosophy of refereeing. Do you call every penalty every single time, or do you do it as the flow of the game? Do you try to get these players playing like right close to that edge, and like, do you call blatant calls that they're getting out of control, or do you call it, you know, or do you call penalty a penalty like every single time? That just kind of goes to that refereeing philosophy, and I know some referees have different philosophies, so it just depends on which crew is which. So it's a hard balance. It's a really hard call. It just set me off, and I got frustrated with it because there's definitely things they can do. I know you're going to get to what you're going to get to. I think I still go back to, you know, how people, you know, get on Tennessee, and all these people will say Tennessee's going a certain number of, certain number of wins, certain number of losses. But do these guys really follow Tennessee like we follow Tennessee? You know, I'm still stuck on the I'm still stuck on 8-4, even after we talked about it. Again, I just don't believe we're going to beat Florida until we actually do. And then I just have a feeling we'll drop another game somewhere. So that's just, again, my opinion on it. I know you're going to get to, what is it, Peter Burns' statements?
Yeah, him and Roman Harper.
I'll let you get into that and listen, but I'm still just I can't mentally get over that 8-4 until they do it. I'll see y'all.
Thanks for the call, T-Car. Yeah, I don't blame him. I mean, we haven't won 10 games since, what, 2007? And that took a bowl win, if I'm not mistaken, over Wisconsin. Well, let's go ahead and do it.
Roman and Vandy were the last team in the conference to do it.
Like 13th out of 14 to win.
Yeah.
Like, it's been longer for us than all but Vanderbilt since we won 10. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty – which, I don't know. I was watching Josh Pate on the late kick. He'll join the drive occasionally, and he was talking about, you know, some – obviously Tennessee right now is – it's kind of a weird year. Like, you've got some people – I think the Vegas over-under is 7.5, 8, depending – some people think 7-5. I've seen some 6-6, but then you've got some people projecting, you know, 8-4, 9-3, 10-2. We get Alabama, Georgia doesn't. We get Alabama, Florida doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
it's going to, you know, everyone's saying, oh, Tennessee could challenge for the East, and maybe they could. It's just going to be very tough because unlike our two counterparts in the East who might have a chance, like Kentucky this year is a hot pick, right, to maybe upset Georgia, maybe win the East. I don't see it, but they're probably going to win 9 or 10 games. And if you do that, you know, and other things happen to other teams, like there's a chance you could make it to Atlanta, but they don't play Alabama. So Kentucky, Georgia, and Florida, they don't play Alabama. Tennessee has to. Like, it's just in certain years especially, the deck is very stacked against us. Now, some years one of those teams will play Alabama, but most years none of the three will play Alabama. So we get the short end of the stick there. It is just, especially with Bama being this good, it is just inherently more difficult for Tennessee to make Atlanta than the other top teams in your division.
What would you say our floor is? 7-5?
I mean, it depends, man. Like, if Hooker goes down and Milton hasn't improved and you get some injuries on defense, like, no. I mean, I think the floor would be, you know, 6-6.
I mean, look,
I think it's possible. I think 5-7. It's all about, do you stay healthy? I think
so. If you stay healthy.
I think if everything's kind of equal across the board, right? Like, if we lose our quarterback, we get a break and play a team or two that's lost their quarterback. If we have a bunch of defensive injuries, some other teams have. If everything is relatively equal, like if every team stayed perfectly healthy, I'd say the floor is probably 7-5. The floor.
Your floor with Kentucky schedule is probably 9-3.
I'd say, yeah, 9-3, 8-4.
And you got
all things equal. I mean, I think there's a chance Kentucky could go 6-6 or 7-5. I think it's possible, but they do get a much easier schedule.
Yeah.
You know, like South Carolina. I know Stoops has had South Carolina's number, but there's a chance South Carolina could beat Kentucky this year. Missouri, if Brady, I saw the message board geniuses account on Twitter posted. There's a Missouri fan who thinks that Brady Cook throws exactly like Tom Brady and reminds him of Tom Brady under center. Even shares the name Brady with him. And so, like, this is what teams do. Do I think Missouri is going to be good? No. But if that guy's good, like, they could sneak up and beat a Kentucky. They could beat Florida again. Like, I don't think that's impossible. Just like I think there's a chance Tennessee, yeah, maybe they reach and exceed expectations and do upset one of Georgia or Alabama. But I also think that, you know, a 7-5 is possible. Like, there's just too many unknowns. LSU's like the prime example. Some people think LSU's going to stink because they don't have a quarterback, but what if they find a quarterback and all that talent? It's definitely possible that they could win 8-9 games, I think.
I mean, the West is tough. I don't know how you predict LSU. They don't know who their quarterback is.
I'd say that about half the teams in the league right now, that you don't know about their quarterback.
Well, you know who they are. You just don't know what they're going to do.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, well, not at LSU. You don't know who the quarterback's going to be. He hasn't decided yet. Like, Drinkwitz says it's going to be Brady Cook. But that doesn't mean that we're going to face Brady Cook. Bazelak last year, and then he got benched a couple days later.
Pro Football Focus, college football, had – it didn't matter the quarterback for LSU. They had him ranked ahead of Hendon Hooker.
It just said quarterback LSU?
Had the two names. What is it, Nussmeier and Jaden Daniels? Is that the other guy?
Jaden Daniels, Nussmeier, and –
there's like one other one.
Max Johnson.
But anyway, I mean, if you combined all three of them, maybe that's why they haven't had him. With your powers combined,
that's not gonna.
He went like Hendon was like 23rd ranked.
I mean, they do have Kayshon Boutte, who's very, very good. But we have Tillman and Hyatt. Like, it's talking season.
People are
gonna, you know, they're gonna rank and they're gonna try to get their clicks. I know we've teased it a few times. We will come back and tell you what Roman Harper and Peter Burns said about Tennessee's record for 2022. Final break, hour two. This is 3 and Out, Fan Run Radio. Talking season. SEC Now airs daily on SEC Network. Different hosts. I believe yesterday it was Roman Harper and Peter Burns walking through Tennessee's schedule. I don't know if this is – I don't know if they have to agree on the pick or if one of them picks one game and someone picks the other. They predicted Tennessee's record. 10-2 with wins – over Georgia, Florida, Pitt, obviously Kentucky, Missouri, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, the out-of-conference games of teams that stink. The losses would come back-to-back on the road at LSU and home against Alabama. That's 10-2 with an upset win over Georgia. There's a chance that if that's the case, you're in Atlanta.
If you go 10-2.
Yeah, with a win over Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
If they were to, I mean, I know they only draw Auburn, but if Florida were their only loss. Yeah, I mean, if we're their only loss, then they go.
Yeah, so it makes it.
But would you take 10-2 right now, losses to the West teams, running the top table in the win. East?
Sounds great.
Yes.
Is there any question? I mean, if you're 10-2, like that's exceeding expectation, especially if it was. I mean, I think we're all thinking if 10-2 happens, it's going to be losses to Bama and Georgia, losses to LSU and Bama, while back to back being West teams, one of which on the road in one of the most hostile environments in the country, and the other two Alabama, a team that some are saying might be Saban's best since he's been there. I think Well, they basically say it every year, even though last year was a rebuilding year, all right. Yeah, man, like, I think I'm taking that. I think I'm signing up for that.
I wish I had seen the segment to hear their reasoning for beating Georgia or losing to LSU.
I don't know if they have those on Watch ESPN. I may go back and try to find it.
Might find it on Twitter somewhere.
They re-air them throughout the day, but obviously there'll be a new one this morning, so I don't know if yesterday's will be on there. Maybe until at this point, they probably already aired one this morning. So we've got Tennessee as the number two offense in the country. Former Alabama safety and SEC Network host Peter Burns either agree or at least landed on 10-2.
It's not crazy.
I don't think 10-2 is crazy. I think 10-2 with those two losses is out there. That might be the most... I don't want to say outlandish, but it's that might be the most positive prediction I've seen on the season so far. Like no one's really saying 11-1.
That trip to Georgia would potentially be for the East.
Could be. I mean, it depends. They're
probably going to have no conference losses. They might get one.
Who's their other draw from the West this year? I mean, obviously they've got Auburn, who we'll probably get into this later on in hour number three, but. The only coach listed on the SEC hot seat, according to ESPN, is Brian Harsin. So, they're not supposed to be that good. I cannot remember who Georgia draws also from the West. Is it A&M? Or, no, Florida gets A&M, if I'm not mistaken. I should have had this pulled up, but I wasn't even thinking.
I'm on it. Always ready.
Yeah, you Google on that potato. We'll get
Let's
it by
Let's see. Okay. So we'll run down their SEC schedule. First conference opponent, they got South Carolina, win. Missouri, win.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn, win. Vandy, win. Florida, win. Yeah, they're going undefeated in conference.
Who they get?
Their other West team is Mississippi State.
Okay, yeah, so the odds of that being for the East, no, but you do get bragging rights for a year, and it would be a win at Georgia, which is always fun.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, like I said, I don't think anybody's turning that down, but, I mean, do we think – I'm not saying it's impossible, but if – do we think LSU has the potential to be that much better than Georgia, or is that just because it's a road game maybe? I mean, their defense was not very good last year. Obviously, it is Baton Rouge, but they've got a fairly tough schedule. I mean, they open with Florida State. They get Mississippi State, who, you know, just 2 years ago absolutely housed them in Death Valley. Now, that was an early game, I believe a noon game.
Those guys also got torched by Kentucky last year, too. So,
that's right.
Like 45-21?
Yeah, it was not close.
I mean, you lose your best corner to Alabama, right? Ricks or whatever?
Yeah, they did.
I mean, that hurts.
That's the one game this year I have no clue what to think about it, how to feel about it. It's just such
LSU?
A question. Yeah, it's just such a big question mark.
Yeah, I felt that way since it was on the schedule and they hired Brian Kelly. It's like okay, that's an interesting one. Year one, Brian Kelly, we go there and okay, we'll kind of wait and see what happens.
Like, I know what to expect out of Kentucky, Vandy, Missouri, Georgia.
Missouri's a little bit of a wild card, but not to the point where I'm worried if we can win the game.
Yeah, I mean,
the only way we lose that one is if we just absolutely you know, we could shoot ourselves in the foot.
We could score 30 less points in that one and still win.
Right.
Just based off of last year's results.
Yeah. I do think Brady Cook has a chance to be pretty good. I don't think he's going to be the difference in whatever it was, like 40-something points. We'll continue this conversation, get into – I love SEC coaching hot seats. It's one of my favorite things. We'll do that in Hour 3 next.